Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. There's no set schedule. It's just whenever I finish a book, I do the review, stick it up here on the podcast feed for everyone to download and listen to and hopefully enjoy. Joining me today is Juliana.
Say hello. Hello, everyone.
Hello, Juliana, from everyone back, I guess. recently I've been reading various books for various reasons. Haven't got round to reviewing them all, mostly because I've been traveling. I've been busy and traveling and doing lots of other stuff.
Nice.
And you haven't been very well recently. You've taken more time off work. So it's just one of those things that you said.
One more time.
You just said, if you want to do a podcast, you're just going to have to sit me down and we're going to have to do a short podcast.
So yes, that's what's going to happen.
Let's see if you
need. And I apologize for any coughing or any sort of.
No, it's going to be fine. It's just I was looking at the last time that we did an episode. It was like at the beginning of May.
Wow.
And now it's like. middle of June. Well, actually nearer the end of June than the middle of June, but in my head it's still the middle of June.
We were busy.
Lots of travel, lots of other stuff. Either way, let's get to it. So the books that I've been reading, ticking off books of like the best books from last year. You remember there's a whole sequence of books that I'm doing that last year. Best books of last year. Another one is I've been catching up with SFBRP must reads listen. So you have been doing this as well. You recently reread Player of Games.
I did.
And so that's good fun. And I've reread quite a few books to see, hey, should this be on the SFBRP must reads list? But I think I'm gonna save it for like episode 600 or whatever. We'll do another episode where we do a wrap up of that reading list.
Okay, yeah.
Because there's a few books I was like, should this be on here or should it be on there? But I've only read the book once, and I don't want to put a book on the SFBRP must reads list if I haven't read it at least twice.
That makes sense.
Or that I know it will stack up to repeat. Reading, let me put it that way.
Okay.
So, and the other things I've been doing is just like reading other books which are out and I want to get to, including today's episode, which is Adrian Tchaikovsky. He writes a lot of books. This is not reading for the SFBRP must reads list. This is not reading the best books that came out last year.
Is it even SF?
This is fantasy. And I mean, it's fine. If a fantasy book comes out last year and people say it's one of the best books, you know, I might get around to it, you know, if it's on the award list and all that kind of thing. But this one is just, continuing on with a fantasy series.
Nice.
And it's always weird to start reviewing like books 3 and 4 in a long running fantasy series. Because I'm like, well, what people who haven't read the first book haven't read the second book, aren't really interested. But people who have read the first two books, if I just said, kind of that, but like more of the same, but like it's slightly different because each one of the books is slightly different.
But they're more likely to say, sign me up for that.
Yeah, like just go for it. And of course, that's why the Goodreads readers who keep going through and they're now on book 3 or 4, they're going to say, this is great. And everyone who didn't like the first two books isn't going to pick up the third book. And, you know, it's this self-selecting, long-running fantasy series where the ratings get better and better as it goes through.
Yeah.
Average ratings, anyway. I think this series is very good, but I don't think it's getting better as it goes through.
Okay.
But it's not getting any worse.
Is it finished?
No. There's like another book coming out this year. And then there's already another book coming out.
A current ongoing series.
Well, yes. The Tyrant Philosopher series here. So it starts off City of Last Chances and House of Open Wounds. Those are the two first books. We reviewed those like end of last year.
Yeah.
And then there's book 3, Days of Shattered Faith, and then book 2.5, which is like a left. It felt like, again, reading this, let's get into it. Lives of Bitter Rain, and then coming out, published 2026, is Pretenders to the Throne of God. And that's the new book that's come out, which I'm going to catch up to.
Right.
And then there's The Heart of the Reproach, which is, I don't know, maybe another novella or something. I don't know. So there's more books coming up.
So you just said one of the books is 2.5. So that must come before number 3.
Yes. So let's talk about The Lives of Bitter Rain. Mm-hmm. It's a novella set before the events of book number 3.
Okay.
And it's like the deeper backstory of one of the main characters in book number 3, Anjali or Gil, or Anjali and Gil. And also sort of like some of the stuff that happens like preceding the book number 3. However, it wasn't released beforehand. It was released a year later. And it feels like, and guess this is just what it looks like from the publishing schedule, is that Adrian Tchaikovsky had a lot of this material that he'd written or, you know, sketched out or programmed out or whatever. of like the backstory of this character, and was like, well, that's not needed for this. And you know, kind of like the first act is like a bit long and a bit floppy. It's like, well, it really kicks off around about here. This is the story I want to tell. Mm-hmm. And but he had like this, you know, immediate backstory, like events running up to book three, already written, already sketched out. And the publisher was like, hey, do you have like another book in the series? No, I don't. And I've released two science fiction novels this year as well in 2025. Yeah. So what are we going to do? It's sort of like, well, how about I just brush this up into a novella, put it out there. And here's the thing. I read some reviews on Goodreads of people who had read this book. Everybody who read
book
this...
Book number 2.5.
Yeah. Everybody who read 1, 2, 3, and then read the novella 2.5, mm-hmm. which is The Lives of Bitter Rain, is what we're talking about now, this novella, mm-hmm. said, well, this is a bit pointless. Like, I didn't really need to know about the backstory of this character, and it's a bit repetitive because, like, we already knew what happened in the immediate run-up to the book number 3,
right.
And what's really the point about it. And it seems like everyone who read it, like, book number 1, book number 2, then read the novella 2.5, mm-hmm. and then went on to, you know, the main novel number 3, is like, great, this is just... more of like, oh, we read this story. It's a backstory. This person's going to be important in the next book. I already know that it's going to be important, you know, because that's how it's set out.
Yeah.
And the world building is there. Nothing's repetitive because we're just going into it. And that was my experience. I very much enjoyed reading this in chronological order, you know, like within the story,
yeah.
rather than publication order. And I think normally you should read things in publication order or in a... you know, in an order which like makes sense, you mm-hmm. know, don't be a slave to internal chronological order because that can really mess you up. Like you don't want to read the Chronicles of Narnia in chronological order. You want to read it in publication order.
Okay.
Because in that case, all of the mystery and wonder of the first book is removed because there's a previous book, which is sort of like, and right. now deep world building and mm-hmm. you know, this character. And then if you read the second book, you're like, well, this is just like a children's book set in the same world. And it doesn't make sense, you know.
Okay. Yes. So,
but in this case, I was very happy to read it in the order which I just picked it out. Should I read the 2.5 novella before mm-hmm. book number 3? And I was like, yeah, I'll give it a go.
Okay.
I it's only a novella, but there was a special offer on Audible where you could get a credit for cheap for one of these books. So
yeah.
I just did that. So.
And also, I guess because you didn't read immediately when books came out, so you had a bit of a delay in publication.
Yeah, I was
so that meant that you had the chance to do that.
Yes,
so sometimes it might even be worth, even if books are already out or coming out and you start reading right away, sometimes it might make sense to just relax and wait a bit, see what happens.
Yeah, this book, Lives of Bitter Rain, came out in October last year, and that was just when I was catching up with the series. You know, we did the review in November, I think, last year. So yeah, because I was a year behind all of this stuff.
That could happen.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad it did. So it's a perfectly fine book, and I do suggest reading it in internal chronological order because it isn't repetitive and it does introduce you to the world. So the place that this book is set is, or the greater world of this is Palisand, where it's this, they call it an archipelago of islands, which had a fisherman's god. And then they were like, hey, we're too good for this god. So they got rid of the fisherman god.
Okay.
And then they started getting rid of every god, and they set up a bureaucracy of like perfection, and they wanted to spread perfection around the world.
Interesting.
And it's in previous books, it's kind of more clear now that the archipelago is like the British Isles, if you know what I mean. Like
mm-hmm.
And a lot of this feels, this book specifically makes it feel even more that this is the British Empire, mm-hmm. and this book is set in Sri Lanka or some coast of, you know, some part of India or in that kind of area of the world. It's not very like closely to that, but this is, definitely does feel like, oh, this is the East India Company turning up, and they have sort of like people there, and there's like, but here's the thing, in this land where they are now, and it's called Uzmai, and they have a frog god which is quite powerful, but it's not that makes them powerful and that they can't be taken over by Palisand. It's that they have one of these magical forests there, and this is a magical forest that if you go into it, you pass through into different dimensions and realms,
mm-hmm.
and if you go in there, you probably can't make your way back to the current world, but other people come out magical beings come out of this forest.
Uh-huh.
So you get lizard people come out of the forest and sort of insect people come out of the forest. And there's like a, you know, lots of monks and stuff that there that come out of there. So they kind of, anyone who comes out of the forest, Uzmai, instead of saying, oh, you're alien people and we need to like banish you back in there or defeat you, they're like, yeah, come on, join our army. You can be our palace guards. You can be whatever. And that means they've got a very powerful army. And Pal, the Pal Empire, hasn't managed to like take this place over yet.
So we are kind of like, this is kind of set with the underdogs, like the Gallian. No, how is it called in Asterix and Obelix?
Oh yeah, the Gauls.
The Gauls, yes. the little yeah, one still standing.
But here's the thing: this has been this way for the entire book. None of these books have yet been set in Palisand. It's always on the outside. So more to the point, what this book feels like, and this book even more so, is the culture series. That you have the culture. Yeah. Again, it's the opposite way around, because this is not like a utopian place. This is like it's a dystopian, authoritarian, you know, everyone has to be perfected. You know, we have to wipe out superstition. We have to wipe out the gods.
Right.
And they render down the gods and anything with any magic in it. They render out the thing, like resource extraction.
Wow.
So it's like,
sounds harsh.
It is harsh. And so if they can get a god, they can get the magical power out of the god, or anything magical, any like demon or any, you know,
they literally
angel.
distill them down.
They can render out the magic from them and put them into like these like barrels, they feel like, you know, like a like dynamite, but not dynamite, but you have these things with charges like that, and you can charge them up with power, and then you can use that power for various things.
Right.
A lot of shooting, a lot of firing. That's why it kind of feels like,
obviously,
you know, gunpowder kind of stuff. But yeah, it's like resource extraction, like oil or rubber or tea or gold or whatever you're going around the world, and you're like stripping the local population of their gods and magic and history, and it's called bringing them under the sway of the Palisene. Okay,
right.
So under the Palisene sway,
are they left alive when they're done extracting? Like
the gods aren't. No, the gods are killed.
Wow.
So and other magical beings are as well. Mm. However, so the whole point of Palisand is that you're not allowed to do any magic. You're not allowed to be superstitious. But
except they are.
So they're constantly using the thing. So, but what I'm saying is that this is like the East India Company is setting out their scouts, and you have like these different departments of correct thought and the department of correct action and things.
Yeah.
But the people that we're going for is Sage Invigilator Angili Gil to her friends, it says here in the blurb. And she is definitely special circumstances. No, she's more like contact. So she's like an ambassador that goes out and starts talking about it. She has a house there, and there's doing deals and things like that. And there's other ambassadors of other places there as well. Mm-hmm. And that's how this book starts off, that she has to go and have a duel with one of the characters from the that you know from one of the I already knew it from the novella character. So you're like, oh, right. So that's important. Like this duel that happens is actually kind of, it felt more important to me because I already knew who the person was.
So that duel happens in the third book?
At the very start of the third book.
Okay.
Meanwhile, there are other people who a bit more special circumstances. They're like these much more like agents who are coming in and just like doing stuff, and they can do whatever they want. And there's a few of those people.
They
who
are
come
the,
in.
The influencers in the background.
Yeah, but not even in the background. They just come in and start buying things up and start doing magic stuff and like, you know, raising armies and like invading things. You know,
right?
Just like crazy, crazy. You know, a bit like in the use of weapons. You know, you get the guy in and go like, all right, go down there and like start spreading some trouble, and we can mess these people around. So that's what it feels like. It's like we never actually spend time inside Palisand. It's always like these agents and these armies and these people who are going out and trying to take things over.
Okay.
So yes, this is Uzmai. They have a frog god. They, you know, they incorporate people from these portals, in these forest portals from other, you know, places through, and bring them in and like make them part of their society, and that's their main strength. Yeah. And their main leader is called the Tranquility Operan, and he is blind, and he was blinded by his brother when there was a power struggle between his brother and him to who was going to take over the throne. And but then he killed his brother and but managed to trap his ghost, the spirit of his brother, in the empty skull of his brother. So they kill him, like trap the ghost, and he goes in there. So he walks around, he's blinded, but he has the spirit of his brother.
So he walks around with a skull.
Yeah. And then this book, and like also the novella, and then this book is about the next generation. So the sons, or the, you know, the sons and daughter of this Operan. One of them is called Gorbudan, and he's the oldest son, and he's a very warrior kind of guy. And then there's the second son, who has actually, he's like the in the, you know, in like these Indian palaces, you'll send one of your sons over to Oxford or Cambridge to be educated in in a boarding school. And then they come back and they can speak English better than people from England and kind of know the ways.
Have
and
the
stuff
network
like that. And so that's the balance here of this is sort of like, oh, this guy, Decameron, people are really suspicious of him because he's like wanting to bring a little bit too much palisand back with him. But yeah, in these books, it's about this power struggle and the, and which one the father is going to side with. Again, I don't want to give too much away because I'm then giving stuff away in both books, in, in the novella and this
book. I've got a little slightly confused when you when you start talking about this book. You need to be
both
more,
of the here's
both
the thing.
Of the books.
Both of the books, it's like reading the novella is like reading the first quarter of a novel, and then reading the novel is like reading the next two quarters,
so
like three quarters of it.
It's like a smooth.
Honestly, the novella ends,
and
the novel picks up like 3 days later.
Okay,
you know, that's it's just run straight in from one to the
and
next.
And just so I have a rough like context, how long is it? How big is the novella?
Well, the novella was like a four hour audiobook.
Okay.
And the novel is like a 22-hour audiobook.
Okay.
So,
good.
Yeah, like I said, like not quarter, but you know what I mean.
It's it could be like a chapter.
It's like reading
prologue.
The first four chapters. It's like, it's like a prologue, an extended prologue, like first four or five chapters of a
that's
big chunky fantasy book. So I'm not even quite sure where one of these ended and the next one begins
because
I kind of just went straight through both of them.
Yeah, makes sense.
So that's the whole setup. And into this power struggle between these two brothers is Gil, Sage Invigilator Angeli. And she is there to be like trying to make it so we're going to take this place, like the palisand is going to take this place over, bring this into the sway,
right?
It's going to happen,
yeah.
But she is unfortunately falling in love with one of the two sons,
and
with
probably
Decameron.
Not the one who went to, who's like the palisand guy, the other
one? That's what they have stuff in common.
She does fall in love with him,
with the second son, who is not the bloodthirsty warrior. Again, but this is like there's a bit of like romantic comedy going in, but it's sort of like an anti-romantic comedy. But there's a lot of the whole, like, a lot of the kind of like, she's from this place, he's from this place, what have they got in common?
Right.
But there's a war going on, but they're, you know, are they from opposite sides? And the whole story around this whole story, like, if we're going to get straight to the themes of this, it is power, who has the power, and then if you have the power, who is going to be loyal to you, and who are you going to be loyal to? And almost every single page of every chapter, or like, I mean, of course I was listening to the audiobook, but every section of it is about of like, oh, what is the interplay, who's got the power here, and then who is loyal to the power? And some of it is very explicit, like, so one of the sons is like, why haven't these people, like, I'm the only one here. Like, why haven't they sworn loyalty to me yet? Like, what do I have to do for them to swear loyalty for me? Meanwhile, the other son is sort of like, well, I'm not, like, I wasn't blessed by my father, but like, I've got the army. Like, why aren't people loyal to me? You know?
Right.
And meanwhile, other people are like, personal things getting like in the say, like there's this story is sort of like, oh well, Decameron wants to, like, he wants to be the leader of this, of you know, of this country, of what's it called, Uzmai, but also he has now a personal relationship with an agent of the enemy empire, who, and that's now going to be it, and then the other way around, and then individually, each one of those will have somebody else who is close to them, but you're like, are you loyal to me or not? Like, Lorette is someone who comes sort of like fresh off the boat, is what the blurb says. And she is coming over and she's the new personal, like, secretary, aide to Gil, sage invigilator Gilly.
Yeah.
And she turns up and she's not very good at her job. And you're like, well, what's your deal? Like, what's going on here? Sort of like
that sounds suspicious.
It's very suspicious. All of this kind of stuff is suspicious. Because, and then other people pass through and you're like, hey, what are you, are you an agent of,
like, a spy of the spies?
Yeah, like you're coming from the archipelago, you're coming from Palisand. But are you an agent of them, or are you trying to escape something from them? And there's this, like, backstory stuff. So this book is really, really, really great, like, fun, like, but kind of also deep satire about, like, okay, this is how the world's working. There's this powerful empire coming through here. Which, like, is it worth it to be, like which side are we going to be in here? Which side are we going to be loyal to? But because this, as Wikipedia says, it says The Tyrant for Offices is a grim, dark fantasy series, it means that it isn't pulling its punches. Mm. Like, people in these novels, people don't get through to the end of these novels. And you don't know who's, I mean, some of them you kind of know who's going to get through. The repeated characters are from the first novels. Like,
yeah.
But they're not the main characters. But of our main characters, you're like, oh, like, who?
Yeah, which choice are they going to make? And does it mean that they last or not?
Yeah, but the choices that these characters make, because it's grimdark fantasy, and everyone lives happily ever. No, it's not everyone lives happily ever after. You don't know what's going to, like, who can do what in this book. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it.
You don't know what's going to survive. And it's really refreshing to read, like, proper, like, I don't know even what I want to say. It's satire, but, like, proper, like a novel which feels proper in that way. You know what I mean? Like, that it feels like there's a lot to sink your teeth into, but it's really blatant about a lot of it, but then also really subtle about the same things. Like, it's working on these different levels. There's this very blatant level of power and loyalty and who you are loyal to, where your loyalties lie.
It looks like it could all be really easy.
Yes, but then that sort of, like, everything on the surface, but then underneath the surface is a whole other secondary level of loyalties. And then if you get deeper underneath there, there's, like, this third level of loyalties, sort of like, oh, are we loyal to the old gods? Are we loyal to, like, the idea of progress, you know, and all these other kind of stuff, like this philosophy. I mean, it's called The Tyrant Philosophers for a reason.
Yes, makes sense.
And what makes it really fun is that as you're reading it through, you're never, like, I think, I say you're never. It feels like a fun challenge that Adrian Tchaikovsky is continually challenging you to feel like, who are you rooting for as the reader? And it reminds me quite a bit of that first season of, again, I haven't watched the second season of the Star Wars show, Andor.
Yeah.
Where you're, like, rooting for the rebels. You're rooting for, like, the underdogs, if you know what I mean. But then you've got this one character who is a woman who is, like, this, you know, agent, not agent, but she's, like, this administrative bureaucrat. And all the way through, she's being set up as, like, a main character, and her, like, wimpy, like, guy who kind of falls in love with her and, like, saves her. You know, like, those two guys, you're like, oh, yeah, you end up rooting for them to do a good job. But then at the end, you're like, oh, I'm rooting for the people to do a good job, but they're the evil empire. They're, like, fighting on the side of the Emperor and Darth Vader. And this Tyrant Philosophers in, like, especially the second book and now the third book, you know, the second story and the third story, you're very clearly, like, now we're not just people in the army of Palisand, you know, the people who are attached to the army, like the people who are foreign, you know, like in Rome, like in the Roman Empire, you would get the people from Spain and send the people from Spain over to, you know, Egypt or whatever. And you take the people that you conquered in Greece and send them over to wherever, Germany, whatever. And that's what they do here. But now we're really with people from the archipelago. These are now the British. These are now the English, you know, people who have gone to the good schools and are going over there. And they are really very much on the side of Palisand.
Yeah.
And you're in their stories and in their heads. And as you're going through, you're like, as the book goes on, you're rooting for them more and more and more. And then, like, of course, it's anybody. He's constantly teasing you, going. whose side are you on now? Are you really on this person's side?
Yeah.
Because as it goes through, and this is the really clever thing in this book, is that there's this whole backstory, not backstory, there's a whole other thing going on. Like, if this is set in India, what's happening back in, you know, the rest of the British Empire, mm-hmm. or whatever is going on here?
Yeah.
And it's hinted at that things are going really south there. Like, what's happened back home? Something, because these people, like, they're coming through. You're like, are you escaping from home, or are you, like, mm-hmm. what's going on here?
Yeah. There's and a messiness.
And it's really messy.
Yeah.
And it gets really dark.
Right.
To the point where, you know, it's talking about, like, concentration camps and stuff like Oof. This. And what's really clever of this is the fallout of the quirky magic system logic that Adrian Tchaikovsky has done in the previous books. Mm-hmm. Now, what Adrian Tchaikovsky does with his magic and his, you know, religion and gods,
yeah.
He does take it seriously. Well, put it this way. Other fantasy authors try and be too logical about the magic, you know, like Brandon Sanderson. He comes up with a magic system, mm-hmm. and everything is powered by orbs or spheres, mm-hmm. or something, and you get to get this.
It's very rigorous.
It's very rigorous.
Yeah.
Now, Adrian Tchaikovsky's magic system isn't rigorous in terms of every single detail is worked out, but he does take it seriously in the fact that if this is the way that the empire is being controlled and these gods spring up and these cults are refounded and stuff like that,
yeah.
what does that actually mean?
Yeah.
And the quirky twists that happened at the end, because he sets up all these rules and stuff like, what about this? What about this? Demon contract, something with genies, something like that. And then it pays off at the end of the book. Sort of like, and now, twist around, I made a note of it here. It's what he does is a payoff with a clever science fiction-esque logical extending of the rules of magic.
Right.
So you got all these rules. He set it up all in the novel. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, you're sort of like, and then because of this, we can pay it off in this way. And there's this big, you know, whatever happens at the end of the book. And you're like, yes, that's great. That's narratively satisfying. It's character satisfying. And also it's like logically satisfying for this.
Yes.
And very handily, the next book isn't set in the same place. He goes, you know, Marek Jack or Yasnik or whatever the character turns up somewhere else, and then he goes on there, and you know, there's something else that gets set up, and there's another thing in the second book. It's like something with some poison, whatever like that, and it's really satisfying, and then it gets paid off, and then we move halfway around the world to mm-hmm. another place.
Mm-hmm.
Those things that are paid off there, where you, oh, we completely overturned how the order of the world works because we've put together these two magic systems in this religion in this way, which like breaks society.
Yeah,
society is broken.
Mm.
But we're just in a different place now.
Yeah.
So in the background of this book is the fallout of stuff that was happening in the mm-hmm. previous two novels, but we're with characters who weren't there or who like were there and then left and now they're halfway yes. around the world and
yeah.
we pick up with them around here again.
Okay, that's fun.
And stuff's happening back and you're like, oh, the thing that we were like, yay, let's go, Yasnik, let's go, Marek Jack, let's go, like the, you know, the, what's it called, the House of Open Wounds, you know, the healing, the people who are there, who are those main characters, and you're like, yay, good for you, go. And then you leave it, and as you go through this book is this grim, dawning realization that they have fucked up society so bad at the end of that last novel that there's now, like, literal concentration camps in back home in Palisand and with these different people, and you're like, oh.
Oops.
Oh, yeah. Not just oops, but like, oh shit. Like, that's...
big oops.
That's rough. And it's dark. And yeah. it is... And again, because it's sort of like taking it seriously, so many novels or so many science fiction novels and fantasy novels, they come up with a cool thing and they're like, and this kind of thing, it's sort of like, it's either, you know, science fiction, which is so, you know, is it indistinguishable from magic, or it's magic, which is like really big. And other novels either end or series, they kind of put the magic back in the bottle mm-hmm. and they're like, okay, let's carry on with the world. And you're like, but if you can do this, like, doesn't that like change everything?
Yeah.
And this is one of those series which, yes, it does change everything, and it doesn't mean the good guys win. And you might have been like, yay, this all makes sense. But actually, when you look at it, the cold, you know, cold, hard light of day,
yeah.
it can lead to bad stuff happening. And
yes.
that's the stuff that's going on in the background of this novel.
I see. This reminds me, like, just from your telling me that reminds me so much of the culture novels because that's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I just started reading Consider Phlebas.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how it starts off with like this person rooting and this person and loyalty and all this. Yeah. It's so much that. But and it is so fun because you as an author, you can do so much more storytelling in complex
complex situations
yeah. and worlds. And I find it always fun that authors don't then continue one storyline, but then they hop around and show us what it is like from the other point of view. And that is really clever.
Yeah, and that's what's happening here as well. Yeah. So, again, I could go more into it, but I think I've kind of covered what I really like about this. However, in this novel, pacing isn't that great. And I do think some of the returning characters, you could probably do with like half the, but of course they're a gang, you know, there's this, you know, there's this house and they do the healing stuff. And it was fun to have those back again, but it didn't feel like it was paid. Like it felt like every time, all the time that we spent with them, you're kind of like, well, I guess we got to spend some time with these guys because they were in the last novel. You know.
Liked them that last time,
it
didn't you?
They're perfectly fine characters. Like... But it does feel like this is the continuing cast and everywhere these go, but now they're going to escape or they're going to go back here and what's going to happen in book number 4, but I don't want to look it up. I'll just read it next year or whatever, later this year. So yeah, that's it really. Talked about what I liked about it.
Good. How are you going to do the rating? Are you going to rate them individually together?
It's like this is like a 4-star collection of stories. I'm just going to have a look through this here. Oh yeah, when I read the novel, I made one note, which is a Marek trader who people mistake for a diplomat, and I was like, oh, Marek, is that Marek Jack? Is that Yasnik? And then in this book, he is in the city, and you're like, oh, okay, that's probably him. Yes. Or you know, it's kind of nodding that like. In this novella, there's other characters who you might know, even if they're around the other side of the world. And it's like, oh, they are around the other side of the world.
Right.
I think I've had a look through my notes and I don't see anything else. Yes, except the themes. Holy shit, it's just all great satire on power, colonialism, and loyalty.
Mm.
And yes. Yeah, the magic. Oh, yeah. In this one, you know, that some of the things that you talk about, like what's the cool thing? And they have in this, they have a prison which has been made so nothing spiritual, no spirits can escape the prison. Mm-hmm. So they send people in there to die. But then when they die, their spirit, their ghost doesn't come out again. Mm-hmm. And so this house has just it's like a charging battery of, you know, 1,000 years worth of prisoners who've gone in there, died.
Does it burst at some point?
Well, that's it. It's just slowly charging up. And there's talks in the book about who controls this power, like where, like what's going to go on here, you know, who can we get this power out of it? And the woman who is there, whose job it is to find magic to like render out into these, to Blithi, these little tablet, charged tablets and stuff. Mm-hmm. She goes in there and she's sort of like, oh, this is amazing. And like she immediately is sensitive to this and understands the logic of the magic that's going on there. She's like, do they know what they have here? They have like 1,000 years worth of dead people dying in here and their ghosts all being like brought together into this one source of power. So that's what I really like about this. Each book, like, or each novel kind of like is like an exploration of like a different kind of magic, you know. Mm-hmm. You get in one of those you get demons, in another one you get like, you know, like I don't know, gods and you know, all these different kind of stuff. And you, by taking in like by taking them like seriously, by going, okay, werewolves, like, I mean, there haven't been werewolves left, but it could just be like, all right, well, let's do the werewolf
It doesn't just then in one book look at them simultaneously, it concentrates on
It sort of like focuses on one thing. This is definitely about like spirits who die, where do they go, you know, and where might they be, and can you bring them back, and all that other kind of stuff. Well, not so much bring them back, but like, can, if they stick around, can you, in, you know, put one into a skull and carry it around with you, and then it gives you advice or whatever.
Such a funny idea.
It is very fun. All right, that's it. 4 stars for these two books.
Nice.
Which again is I only not giving it like 4.5 stars because I do think the pacing is a bit off. Mm-hmm. And it does get to the point where near the end of the book, you're like, all right, come on, stop saying goodbye to these characters. And like these characters who've been here for 2 books now, they're not main character material. Mm-hmm. Like stop spending time away from these people. Mm-hmm. Or like stop taking me away from the main story to concentrate on these people who are just left over from the previous book.
Right.
Although I do quite enjoy Marek Jack, like Yasnik turning up again each time.
That's
quite fun.
Yeah. Nice. So when's the next book coming out?
No, it's come out.
It has come out.
Yes, book four, Pretenders to the Throne of God. It said it was published in 2026. I would now click on it.
Mm.
And it says it was published February 12th, 2026. And it's got a 4.6 rating. So even higher. It's going up.
It's going up a lot. Yeah.
Right, that's it.
Okay, cool. What's next?
What do you mean, what's next? I'm going on a work trip tomorrow, and hopefully when I get back in a week's time, you're going to be feeling better, so you can literally be sitting there with your eyes closed while we're recording a podcast.
Yep.
But somebody needs to get healthy again, and the way you do that is by taking some time off.
Absolutely. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm going to think positive thoughts.
So thank you very much for everyone who's listening, and thanks to our Patreon supporters as well. Go to patreon.com/LukeBurridge.
Yep.
And you can support us on Patreon. And we're trying to put some fun stuff out here. And
thank you to the people who do write emails.
Yes.
It's really good. It's so much fun to hear from all of you.
Yeah, it's really good. If you want to recommend a book for us to read, you can email me, luke@juggler.net, or go to the SFBRP Goodreads listener group. The Goodreads group, SFBRP listeners, whatever it's called, discussion.
You'll and
check,
find it.
Check out that stuff. Put a book in the books I would like to see review thread there. I don't know what else I want to say, really.
No.
Email me. Follow me on
Instagram. Have a good day after listening to this podcast.
Yes, and have a good day. We're going to take a photo of us holding a book or whatever.
Yeah.
And, Juliana's read Player of Games, so I might read it. And that might be an episode coming up about that.
Okay.
I'm definitely going to do an episode about The War of the Worlds.
Yes.
And other books I'm either going to talk about in my continuing series of books from 2025 that Luke's finally got to, or the SFBRP must reads list, which I'll, again, the next episode we do about that, I'll mention some of those books there.
Yeah.
So that's it from us. Thanks a lot for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Goodbye.